The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. Just turning as we speak 4 minutes past nine on this Monday. It's the 13th of February 2023. How are you getting on? I hope you're very well indeed. Hope you had a nice relaxing weekend if you were off. I hope work went well if you were working. Anyway, stay with us for the next 3 hours. Plenty of information, plenty of entertainment. And we want your involvement in all of it, of course. 086 60 25000 is your WhatsApp and text number. 086 60 555. If you want to give us a call, it's 07491 25000. Caroline Orr is back taking your calls this morning. You can get involved in the conversation via email. comments@highlandradio.com, and if you want to watch the show, you can watch it on your big smart TV, the YouTube or Facebook Watch app. Just search out Highland Radio there, or on your Fire Stick, or just on your tablet, whichever device, and you can get involved in the conversation that way. We've plenty lined up for you, but we want you to raise your issues with us, pass on your information to us, your good stories as well, by the way. Maybe you were the witness of a, or the recipient of an act of kindness over the weekend, and you want to shout out to those responsible. Anything. You're more than welcome to get in contact with us. Let's kick things off with a look at the front of the papers today. The Donegal News. Flight cancellation impact cancer patients. Concerns have been raised about the frequency of cancelled flights at Donegal Airport, which is impacting cancer patients travelling to and from Dublin for hospital treatment. The recent cancellations, which the airport confirmed have been caused by technical difficulties, is causing a big upheaval for patients, according to Gwydor-based charity Donegal Cancer Flights and Services. Mary Coyle from Donegal Cancer Flights and Services told the paper that the cancellation of flights has been an inconvenience for patients. The charity based in Inidney-Padraig offers direct support to cancer patients and their families, including reduced rate flights and free baggage. Over 300 clients currently avail of the vital service. I'm not sure how many have been inconvenienced by those cancellations, but still one is one too many, I'm sure. On to the Irish Independent today. The cost of paying a mortgage heading for 3,000 more a year from than in 2022. I mean, home ownership is for a lot of people already out of reach. This is only going to exacerbate that further. Rising interest rates have added thousands of euro to the cost of paying for a mortgage for a typical first-time buyer couple. The cost of paying a mortgage for a new buyer couple is now heading for 3,000 more than annually than this time last year. And there are warnings that more mortgage rate hikes are on the way, something that will make it even harder for new buyers to purchase their own homes. An analysis of the market shows that property prices will have to fall sharply if thousands of people are to avoid being priced out of the market, though I do expect that we're already seeing, not expect, I do notice we are already seeing trends where at least the increase, the rate of increase is slowing somewhat. This time last year, a first-time buyer couple was able to get a fixed-rate mortgage of 2%. Borrowing €300,000 for 30 years meant a couple had monthly repayments of €1,109, according to calculations by bonkers.ie. This works out at €13,308 a year. But following five increases in European Central Bank ECB rates, the typical fixed rate in the market now stands at 3.5%. Now, that is not necessarily directly linked to rates increases either. Banks at any time can adjust their variable rate. But that increase means, not their variable rate, but their fixed rate. That means now that repayments on the same sized mortgage have risen to 1,000, or risen close to 1,340 a month, which is a significant increase. Because, I mean, obviously, it's not just interest rates on mortgage that's going up. It's the cost of living. It's petrol. It's diesel. It's seemingly it's electricity. It's oil. It's coal. So it's getting very, very expensive for people to take that first step onto the property ladder. When I say getting, sorry, it's getting increasingly expensive. On to the Irish Times now, and the government has been warned over its language in the politically charged debate about immigration, with the Irish Refugee Council calling for an overhauled communications plan from the coalition. Nick Henderson, the council's chief executive, told the Irish Times, "We warn against the use of some language that has drifted into government statements." He criticised terms such as "false story" and "illegally coming to our country." He said people were often forced to travel in a way that requires them to travel in illegal or irregular ways, including using a smuggler who may take a passport back off the person when travelling. There is an urgent need for a communication plan for government on this issue. Why it is important to offer protection, how that is done and to who and how and when, communicate with communities where people are being accommodated, he said. All right, OK, I didn't really notice that too much, but there you go. On to the Irish Daily Mail this morning, and speculation has hardened that the government is planning an extra child benefit payment despite Leo Varadkar declaring yesterday he did not want to fly kites on the issue. Significantly, the Taoiseach and Fine Gael Minister Simon Harris yesterday both publicly stressed the importance of some element of universal benefits in the planned package at the end of the month. And pressure for an extra child benefit payment is strong in the Dáil, with one senior source asking, what is wrong with a million happy mums? Mr. Varadkar told RTE's This Week programme, I believe, that you need an element of both targeted and universal measures to help everyone. One of the things that we will make a judgment call on this week is some additional welfare payments. We haven't decided the nature of those, who will get them, who won't, and how much, he said. Let's go now to the Irish Daily Star. And struggling to find stories that are kind of new and of interest, to be honest with you. But we'll go with this one. The Irish Film Classification Office received complaints last month about the portrayal of Irish people as moronic in Banshees of Inisherin. There was also criticism about the accuracy of the accents portrayed by the inhabitants of the fictional island that featured in the movie, directed by Martin McDonagh, as well as a claim that its reflection of Ireland in the 1920s was wrong. One complainant questioned whether it was made clear from the outset that the film was a work of fiction rather than a real outlook on the peoples of the islands at off the coast of Ireland. Seriously? As people have people nothing else to do. In response, acting director of the IFCO, George Sinclair, noted that the grievances raised were not classification issues. However, he pointed out that the end credits of the film contained a statement confirming that its characters and events were fictitious. I found this film extremely offensive to the suffering of Irish victims of the Irish Civil War, and it portrayed Irish people on the island of Inisherin as moronic, uncaring about the Civil War at the time, one cinema goer wrote. But as I say, I don't understand where people get the brain space to make these types of complaints. Most people, you just mouth off to your mates or don't bother at all. But anyway, apparently the Chinese could be spying on the Dáil. Can you imagine such a thing? Well, that's according to many of the papers today. We'll read the story from the Irish Sun. Chinese CCTV cameras installed at the House of the Oireachtas should be taken down, a human rights group insists. Concerns have been raised about the system made by a company linked to the Chinese Communist Party. The Irish Council for Civil Liberties said the Hilk Vision surveillance cameras inside and outside government buildings could be used to spy on politicians and staff. This week, Australia removed hundreds of Hilk Vision cameras from its defence sites. But I mean, look at how many phones are made in China? If they want to surveil us, I presume they can do it through the phones as well. You know, you give when you buy these products, and if you're fearful that they might do it, you give over your fears for the want, don't you? I just don't understand China Communist Party would find interesting about what goes on in the Dáil. But anyway, if you can let me know what they might find interesting, 086 60 25,000. And finally, up to 100 people are believed to have been hit for cash by a GEA Legends alleged cruel cancer scam, the paper reveals, although it was revealed yesterday as well. Many were prominent names in football and hurling who knew the sports star and the celebrity charity golf and speaking circuit, along with some of their friends. It's believed he was still making begging phone calls up until 4 weeks ago, even though Gardaí had begun a major probe into the scandal. The star is alleged to have claimed he was suffering from cancer. One businessman who gave him a brand new car for free thought he was out in Seattle receiving treatment, but discovered from one of the player's best friends he was actually holidaying with his then-girlfriend. His partner at the time had no idea of the scam. It's understood the alleged cancer fraud had been going on for up to 8 years. Many people with the type of cancer he claimed to have died within a year. One man who said he gave him €10,000 and never got a penny back said he had been a friend for years. I honestly believed he was tapped up. I honestly believe he has tapped up at least 100 people, if not more. Many people within the GEA and business world were too embarrassed to talk about it, but one by one, with the Gardaí involved, they're starting to come forward and reach out. Now, this person is not named, but apparently he claimed he had a cancer he never had. And instead of being away in America getting treatment, he was, in fact, on holidays with his girlfriend. Okay, I'm not sure who it is. I don't know. I'm not in the business of speculating either. I'm sure it will come to light when it's legally okay for that to happen. 086 60 25000, WhatsApps and texts to that number, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. Now, there was some good news heading into the weekend. The HSC confirmed that the 80-bed Ballyshannon Community Hospital is nearing completion. There are a number of finishing touches underway, including floor coverings, fitting final furniture, preparatory works for final internal painting and decorating. The testing and checking of mechanical and electrical services is also ongoing. Frank Morrison is head of older persons services, community healthcare, Cavan, Donegal, Leitrim, Monaghan and Sligo. A good news story, Frank.
Hey, morning, Greg. Yeah, it's absolutely great news. The HSE are delighted to confirm that the Ballyshannon Community Hospital is nearing completion. As you said, we're doing our finishing touches at this stage, hoping for an opening date from March to April of this year, for completion. Now, as you said, we have 80 beds, and that's made up of, there will be 6 individual units within the facility, and it will cover both long-term care, residential, dementia care, and also short-term care, all of which will ensure that residents will receive a high standard of care in a homely and modern environment.
And how many of those beds are short-term care beds, or is that flexible, Frank, depending on general occupancy?
The current makeup, as we speak, Greg, is 52 long-term care and then 28 short-term care. Mm-hmm. That will be monitored over time, and it will take time to actually fill the hospital. It wouldn't be automatically full at 80, and we will, I suppose, assess it and judge it as the needs of the local population during that time. But as we speak, it's 52 long-term care, and then the 8 assessment dementia beds, and then 20 short-term care beds.
So is it fair to say that this will help to ease pressure on hospitals, potentially, with care that's not required in an acute hospital setting able to be provided in Ballyshannon?
Absolutely, yes. Any short-term beds that we are able to bring into the system would certainly assist with any delays or any overcrowding within the community or the hospital services. And paying particular attention, our goal is to keep people at home. But naturally enough, the short-term beds will be able to assist with earlier discharges from the acute service, but also it will be able to take admissions from the GP services and from our integrated care programme for older people, the teams that we have in the community as well.
And presumably the practice or the process of moving people into this new facility, I mean, it's a sensitive enough area as well, presumably, it has to be treated on a case-by-case basis with plenty of consultation and explanation. Is that kind of how it works?
Oh, absolutely. Well, every long-term care person would have a full formal assessment by consultant geriatrician. That takes place, and that's done by a placement panel to make sure that people require long-term care. There would be absolutely full consultation with the residents themselves, families and friends of the person. So nobody would be put into long-term care without due consultation.
Yeah, I meant in terms of moving maybe from one facility to another, Frank. I know there's a very robust procedure there to ensure that it's suitable for the patient and everyone around them, but presumably some people will be moved from other facilities into this new facility. Oh, maybe I'm wrong. Sorry, Frank, if I am.
Oh, no. The Rock Shield, those patients will be transferred over to the new facility. There will be absolute full consultation with families of the people and the people themselves in relation to the move, and it'll be to a really fantastic new facility,
for sure,
which would be for their good as well.
I was just kind of recognising there's a wee bit of upheaval whenever you move from one place to the next, but I'm sure that'll all work out well.
Sure.
So it should all be up and running hopefully March, April then. So the finishing touches effectively is what's going on at the moment.
Well, from March and April, then we have the process of getting the hospital registered with HICRA. That takes time. So that will be a full inspection from top to toe by the Health Information and Quality Authority. And until they're satisfied, we have to wait till registration. But I do believe that we have a lot of work gone into the facility, which should aid to getting it fully registered with the authority. And then there would be full consultation with staff, with the trade union organisations as well, to make sure that everything can move as smoothly as possible.
Brilliant. And I presume we're hoping to see, I'm not sure if it falls under your responsibility, Frank, similar type of progress in the Letterkenny area soon with big plans for a similar facility, I think, in the offing.
Yeah, correct. It's planned for a 110-bed facility, which will provide very similar services, short-term care, long-term care. Now, the exact breakdown of the beds hasn't been decided yet. That is well underway. As we are also planning for a new build up in Leitrim. I know it's not your area.
That's fine. No, just a crossover.
We have plans. We actually have very good plans within the CHCDLMS for making sure that we're able to cater for the growth of people who will require care, both from short-term care and long-term care.
Yeah, and I don't want to put you on the spot. Do we know where the progress in terms of Letterkenny is at the moment?
I don't have the exact details for that, Greg.
No problem. We'll get that off you another time. Yeah. That's fine. Okay, sure. Well, it's good news for the people of Ballyshannon, Bundoora and the surrounding area there, of course. Okay, always good to have a bit of good news on a Monday morning. Frank, thanks for your time.
Okay, thank
you
very much, Greg.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Frank Morrison, Head of Older Person Services, Community Healthcare, Cavan, Donegal, Leitrim, Monaghan and Sligo. That facility coming to near completion. And a lot of people have, the Rock and the Shield have been, you know, known of and in the area for so long, and that's going to be a new facility for them, which is going to be nice. Hopefully, I'm sure it is. It's built to the highest of standards. A caller says, I go food shopping twice a week, and every time I go, I notice the prices are still rising. It's getting beyond a joke at this stage. When is it going to stop? Because people can't take much more. Well, apparently, the rate of inflation is slowing. I think we all know, don't we, prices very rarely come back down. They sort of settle at a higher normal. Maybe that's where we're going. But I do agree with you. The price of the weekly shop is, even if you're more careful with how you shop, you see the increases, no doubt. Fog lights on cars, says this emailer. Fog lights on cars when they are not needed. Can you highlight this, especially when they're not set right? I find they blind you, especially when the road is wet. Cheers. The fog lights in the car should know this. I don't know. I mean, the rear one's pretty obvious. It's a big, bright red light, which certainly can blind you. I presume you're talking about the rear light. Yep, remember to switch it off if you're putting it on, I think, is the message there. It's good to put it on. It's good to put it off. Right, someone has sent in a couple of products here. The poop bags for your dog. Love your dog, love your planet. 122 super strong poop bags. And some various, I didn't know inflation hit poop bags quite as it has. Two identical products, putting dog poo back on the footpaths again, they believe. In other words, they're too expensive for people to buy. $3.99 bought in a shop in Letterkenny in November 22. $3.99, the same bag of poo bags. $8.99. That is some inflation, isn't it? Bought in Letterkenny on December 2023. I tell you, there's enough talked on this program to fill the whole box. And that's just me. Right, okay. Delighted to welcome back onto the show Richard Logue, Project Manager in Transport London. Good morning to you, Richard. Good to have you back on.
Morning, Greg. Good to see you again.
And we touch on this in conversations with you when you're a guest on the Friday panel. Quite often something has emerged around about that time you're on. But obviously, because we've quite a bit to get across, we don't really get to deep dive into the issue. And we're speaking to you off the back of some reports that a railway link from Letterkenny to Derry could be back on track. Now, we know you're a huge advocate for this and can make a really strong argument for it happening. But perhaps for our listeners and for myself, to remind us of why this feels like it could be a reality, do you know, rather than just an aspiration or a pipe dream.
So current situation is, Greg, that last year, both the Northern and the Irish governments set up a all-Ireland rail strategic rail review. And that's been governed by leading rail consultants, Arup, who'd be very familiar to all of us in the railway industry. What should have happened was that the report was due to be released before Christmas Christmas 22. And unfortunately, as we all know, with the whole big argument over the Northern Ireland Protocol and the DUP withdrawing from the Northern Ireland Assembly and the Executive, that report is, I understand, pretty much ready to go. But in the absence of a Northern Ireland minister, it can't be signed off and released until there's been a formal sign-off of that report. So what's been happening over the last few weeks is that there's been elements of that report has been gradually been leaked. I wouldn't say leaked, but they, you know, there's been big hints dropped by both Eamon Ryan, the Minister for Transport, and spokesman in the department, saying some of the key things that are actually could be in the report. Now, as you know yourself, Greg, there's been a long-running campaign to bring the railway back to Donegal, and I have to shout out to our friend, the Reverend David Crooks, who's been flying that flag for many years. And I think possibly we might be starting to see some progress on this. Fundamentally, what we are being told at the moment is that a link between Letterkenny and Derry is possibly on the cards. It was mooted about 20-odd years ago in a previous rail review. And what they're suggesting is that they would want to bring that down via Strabane and Omagh and Portadown back down to Dublin, down the Belfast main line, which would give us effectively a direct route by rail from Letterkenny to Dublin.
Yeah, but what we the positive language is to be welcomed, of course, Richard, but there needs to be some sort of a commitment here because, you know, we've seen with major infrastructural projects announced many years ago that they can get bogged down, they can be difficult to get across the line in terms of planning and all that type of stuff.
Exactly.
We kind of really need a commitment, not an aspiration, don't we, to say, right, this is what we hope to achieve and by when, and then we can kind of really believe it may happen.
And this is why I'd say it's not time to uncork the champagne bottles yet, because, you know, whilst there's talk about putting the link back in, we have right now no firm commitments on timeframes. We've got no firm commitments that may even happen. Don't forget, this is all conjecture. We do not know what's in that review until it's been formally released. And most importantly, Greg, we also need to understand what timeframe they're proposing that the link would be put into place. So until then, you know, we'll have to see. So I'll give you an example. The National Transport Authority in Dublin have just released the Greater Dublin Transport Review. And another rail link, which is badly needed, which is a link to Navan, they're saying that it may come on stream in the 2030s. So I think we have to prepare ourselves to see that we're not going to see it next month or next year.
But do you know what would be a really strong indicator, Richard, if I'm not mistaken? It's part of the 10Ts, isn't it? A road from the border effectively into Letterkenny. You know, you'd probably need to say, well, we need to be looking at those plans to see how maybe the rail line could be incorporated into that, or how might that impact one or the... Do you know what I mean? I think if I were to feel this is really going to happen, well, then I would expect the right people to be talking about how this might align with current infrastructural plans, which are already feeling long-fingered.
Yes, and you're dead right about the 10T, because whilst my understanding is that the rail review would provide a framework for future investment in railways, it will not give us a 100% definite commitment it's going to happen on this date. So I think we all need to set our expectations. But nevertheless, you know, getting it into the framework is a good start. But however, as you rightly say, the Irish government then need to step up and actually add the rail link onto their 10T core network. And at this point, when they made their submission earlier on in 22, certainly rail to Donegal and Letterkenny was not in their submission to the EU. So on the back of the rail review, you would need to see firm action from the Department of Transport, number one, to submit all of this as part of the 10T core network, but number two, then actually have a firm plan to implement it. Because without a firm plan to implement it, you and I could be talking about this in 5 years' time, but nothing to show about it.
I already feel we're talking about this in the hope that our grandchildren might one day be able to get on a train. As I said, I think I said to you before, I don't ever expect me and you to bump into each other in a carriage between Derry and Letterkenny. But anyway, listen, we can all live in hope. In terms of the practical side of this, right, what is in existence there that could be reused, for example, either from Derry to Strabane or from Strabane on to Letterkenny? I presume there's nothing left of certainly on the southern side of the border, there'd be nothing left of any old infrastructure that could be utilised.
There are some bits and pieces, but really what you're looking at is you would want to build a completely brand new line, and you'd work out. And this is why, as campaigners, we would never get very specific. It has to go this route, and it has to go via Ballygawley, and has to do that. I think it's really important that, you know, once we've established that there is a need for the rail link, I believe it's coming. We'll have to debate how long it is, but I would expect then for engineers to go ahead and actually start plotting out where the route goes. Because don't forget, the original railway lines that were built in Donegal were all to narrow gauge, single track, 3 foot wide tracks rather than the standard 5 foot three tracks. And if you were building it from scratch, you would build it double track, and you'd have provision for electrification. You might even just electrify it from day one. So, you know, you basically need a brand new link. Now, it's never a problem for engineers and governments to provide money for dual carriageways and motorways. They'll find that, and they can build them. So you see the same with the railway. And I'd actually say, if you're going to do it in a joined up way, because I know we're talking about in the longer term a dual carriageway between Derry and Letterkenny, why not build it parallel? You know, use the land that you're going to take. I mean, they do that on the continent. If you ever fly into Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam, you're going down the train and you've got the motorway going into the city at the same time. So all of this, you know, is possible, but you would have to build a brand new route, in my view.
And it would have to be double track.
It must be double, because if you single it, then you're instantly putting constrictions on how many trains can run. If you're going to buy land and do the building for the sake of the extra few quid, you might as well build it. This is my view. Build a double track. And even if you're not going to electrify it immediately, you make provision for the overhead wires. And so if you do electrify, and I believe we should electrify all of our railways anyway, you build it with sufficient provision. So you're planning ahead rather than constraining yourself.
Is it possible civil servants in the Republic will look at this and say, well, what's in it for us, really? You know, I mean, we're going to invest this money into Donegal to ship people from Letterkenny into Derry into Belfast. Are the people of Donegal going to see this really as a viable alternative to accessing Dublin, for example? Do you know what I mean? I just wonder, will civil servants look at this and say, well, hold on, what we're doing here is shipping people into the north.
Exactly. Historically, there's been, you know, in our view as campaigners, there's been a lot of resistance at the departmental level. But ultimately, in my view, this is a political decision. The Minister for Transport, anyone who is Minister for Transport has the power to direct the building of railways. That is the political power in the hand of the minister. And if I were Eamon Ryan, I would be looking to leave, you know, a legacy behind and ensure that, you know, we do get this connected. Because if you go back to the Northern and Western Regional Assembly's regional strategy for development, rail link in Donegal is very much on that. And it's also, I would argue, back to the likes of the civil service, is that the state is looking to expand the population by at least 1.5 million by 2040. You're not going to put them all in Dublin. So why not start building up places like Letterkenny in a coherent way, and providing the infrastructure ahead of actually using that as a backbone to ensure that development can really, you know, bring the city up? Because that's where Letterkenny's heading. We're heading to be a city at this stage.
A caller says it's ridiculous to discuss such a long-term plan as building a railway to Dublin from Donegal, given the ongoing climate emergency. The weather will break down before a railway will be built, a waste of time and money. Well, it might break down elsewhere, but we are going to see climate migrants coming to this part of the world, across this, I can't think. But anyway, as the climate changes, it gets very warm in other parts of the world, or weather gets more extreme. Apparently, right, it's going to get wetter here, but we're in a part of the world that's going to have a more stable climate. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but as I say, we actually probably should be preparing for climate migrants.
Quite possibly. I mean, I would probably describe myself as a bit of a climate migrant myself.
Too warm for you in London, was it?
I live in London, and you know, we've got absolutely boiled out of it last summer. Yeah. You know, I'm actually planning, you know, God willing, to buy a property in Donegal this year. So, you know, I would certainly be looking to spend a bit more of my time here. When I say here, as in Donegal. And to be honest, the stifling heat here in London in the summer is a factor for me personally. So yeah, I think there's a lot of credibility behind what you're saying there, Greg.
Yep. So in other words, the change in the climate will actually probably make the need for something like this even more. So I'm looking over your right shoulder at the map of the railway, and I mean,
and you
really
can see, And I know people on the radio can't see it, but as you can see, there's a massive gap there in the northwest.
And for me, though, for me, I could probably be more enthused by Letterkenny through Donegal onto Sligo network. But I suppose we have to aspire to what's perhaps achievable.
Well, I think we should, as I say, what I would want to see from the review coming out, I would say, is to basically, a long-term plan. Because if you actually look at the Western Rail Corridor, and I know it's been controversial for some, but actually the Western Rail Corridor offers the opportunity for a Western backbone of rail all the way from Cork through to Galway, through to Sligo, through to Donegal. Now, I would say, long-term, the possibility of a train coming up the Barnesmore Gap will be a little bit further away than getting Derry and Letterkenny initially connected. But really, you've got to look at it in the context of an all-island network. Mm. And that would actually offer a genuine balance and a counterweight to Dublin as well. I mean, we've got several key pieces of infrastructure passing through up there. You've got Knock Airport, for instance, the railway, the abandoned railway line passes within a mile or two of the airport. So maybe you would look at going straight up to the airport, get that rail connected, and getting, Sligo into Donegal town and then up to Stranorla and on to Letterkenny. To me, that is a no-brainer, and I think it would actually transform Donegal, because it would give Donegal not just access to Dublin, but it would also give you access all the way down the west coast.
I think, and that type of access and connectivity changes a country, and it makes it smaller in a way. So it'd be very interesting to see the Ireland that would be left after that, because I think these things do make have an impact beyond, whether it everywhere becomes more accessible. Richard, I hope someday, maybe, we might get on a train out of Letterkenny somewhere,
well,
wherever it might be.
Hopeful. I just want to make sure that, that they get it on the framework. Knowing how slow it takes to get these projects up and running, it can be a while, but really the power ball is in the court of the Minister for Transport. If he or she decides they want to build something, it can be built. Mm. But what the review will offer, I hope, is a positive framework. But then after the framework, we need hardcore action from politicians to ensure that it happens.
Finally, probably sooner than the provision of a rail link, we might have a border poll. And it's probable, it's not guaranteed, it's probable that might lead to a 32 county Ireland. I mean, obviously it's already a 32, but I think people understand what I mean by that. Yeah. Does that make this easier? Or would it be easier maybe to get at least the Letterkenny to Derry link over the line using sort of this current status quo?
Yeah, so I think I'd agree with you. I think a border poll will happen at some point. And one point people often don't realise about the whole issue of a border poll is that under the current Good Friday Agreement, once the Secretary of State Northern Ireland calls a border poll, he or she then has to call it another 7 years after. So even if they did have a border poll that failed, by what margin we don't know, it would happen again. And, and this is my private view, I think Irish unity is inevitable.
Yeah, I think,
certainly think that having a coherent joined up railway network is an advantage, not just to reunified Ireland, but let's be honest, it's also an advantage to Ireland as it stands at the moment. The more connected we are, the better. Leaving aside politics, but it would help both economies, north and south, very, very strong.
And in reality, for much of Donegal, there's far closer connections or synergies or ties with Derry and Belfast than there might be with Sligo and Dublin, for example. Richard, always a pleasure. Thank you so very much indeed.
Thanks for having
me, Greg.
Take
care of yourself. No, we appreciate you accepting the invite. Richard Logue, Project Manager in Transport London. Now, did you know that house prices in Donegal are falling? The biggest drop, actually, in the entire country. What's it down to? Some believe it's down to the defective concrete crisis, but how would that affect the average price of a home? Well, we'll get the stats and maybe tease that out with Pat Davitt after this short break. All right, IPAV have a new survey out, which shows that demand keeps house prices elevated countrywide, but there has been a drop in Donegal. Pat Davitt is Chief Executive of the Institute of Professional Auctioneers and Valuers and joins us now. Pat, thanks for taking the call this morning.
Good morning, Greg, and thank you for calling me.
Now, there's a few of these surveys that are asking prices and, you know, are looking at different figures. So what does this survey actually cover? Is it the actual achieved selling price, Pat?
This survey covers achieved selling price, three different types of properties throughout the country, Greg, namely two-bedroom apartments, three-bedroom semis, and four-bedroom semis. So it looks at the pricing over the past 6 months of the last two quarters of the year for those types of properties. So it's not an asking price, it's an actual price made.
And what does we might focus first on Donegal. What is the trend in Donegal?
Well, the trend in Donegal is like most of the other counties, it's up, except that the Mica is making a huge difference to different parts of Donegal. In our survey, we have a triangle in Donegal of members that take part in this survey from Inishowen across to Duncran and down to Donegal. So we have that sort of a triangle which we cover the whole of the county. So from where we're looking at it, the price changes are in that Inishowen, Duncran area. The rest of Donegal is similar to probably the rest of the country because of the fact that the prices are going up in them.
So how do we determine this is maybe down to defective concrete? I mean, are houses affected being sold or are people who are buying houses, are they factoring in survey costs? Or how is defective concrete actually forcing the prices down if houses are being sold?
Well, the price on there is a property price register which shows the price the properties are bought for. And on that property price register, it would show, apart from our survey, it would show that sales that have taken place over the past 6 months. So this is the first time that we've actually seen that since the Mica Promise has started. The first time that we've seen that actually houses and properties have taken, have been sold, and we can see the price difference. So if you're looking at a three-bedroom semi, it is somewhere involved with Mica, and the value of it is 250,000, for instance, or 260,000, because this works out handy for me. If it's involved with Mica at all, you could easily say that the price is reduced by 50% down to 130,000. Mm. And if it's not, and if it's Mica clear, and the reporting is to show that it's Mica clear, it would be 260,000. And if you go down to Donegal, for instance, or you go to other parts of the county where it's not related with Mica, the price would be the same or slightly increased on where they were in the first 6 months of the year.
But presumably, though, enough of these lower-valued houses have to be exchanging hands then to drag the average down as much as it has.
Yeah, it's not. There's only 60,000 sales sold in the whole of Ireland in the whole year, Greg. So, like, you know, in Donegal, there wouldn't be that many.
I get you.
There wouldn't be that huge amount of sales. So, like, it doesn't take a large amount of sales to bring the index down. So a few sales would actually bring it down, believe it or not. I'm talking about a few somewhere in the region, maybe 8 or 10 or something like that. But it gives a flavour of what is happening in relation to the Mica and why people obviously are being very careful about buying properties that are Mica related as opposed to properties that aren't. So I think it's interesting for us this time to put it in. It obviously brings down the county average, but bringing down the county average for that Inishowen area and Buncrana area is slightly different than bringing it down for the whole of the county.
Yeah, I get you. All right, Pat. Listen, thanks for your time this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg.
All right, bye-bye. Pat David there, Chief Executive of IFPAV. That's the Institute of Professional Auctioneers and Valuers. Across the country, there's been a 2.4% increase in home prices in the latter half of last year by comparison with a 6.35 figure for the previous 6 months. So there is a bit of a slowdown there, or a reduction, sorry, in values year on year countrywide. But in Donegal, and I still really haven't got my head around it, but in Donegal, we saw the largest drop of 8.85%. But that's in terms of sales, okay? So people clearly then are buying houses that are affected by Mica knowingly, or else you wouldn't see you paying half the price that you might for a house in Donegal town. Right, okay. Now we are going to take a very short break, have the weather, and then get some more of your comments and calls. So that's us, isn't it? Right. Greg, could you please find out? I've been trying to contact Donegal County Council on the phone. It's not working. I ran from four phones. They can't hear. They keep saying hello. No other number I called has this problem. It's the 91539 00 number. Now, we called it and it answered right away. But could they hear you, Caroline? They could hear you, yeah? So I don't know what your problem is, listener, but unless it was resolved in between you texting us and us calling it to see if we could get to the bottom of the problem, it is now working for us. For 50 years, they're chatting about a new road from Letterkenny to Lifford. Yes, indeed. And there are plans there now. And I know sometimes people go, what's the point talking about this stuff? It's never going to happen. But you have to keep going, don't you? Plugging away. Hi, Greg. I'm wondering if you can answer this question for me. I am from Ireland and have lived here all my life. I am on the social housing list many years now. I just found out that refugees got a council house in my area. How is this fair? If you can help with this question, I'd appreciate it. Now, I can't answer to the fairness or otherwise because I don't know the ins and outs. But on your behalf, listener, we contacted the council and they forwarded this response. This may or may not be helpful to you. It reads as follows. Social housing support, including the allocation of a tenancy of a council property, is provided to people who are assessed as having a housing need and unable to afford housing from their own resources. They must meet all the eligibility criteria as provided for in the relevant legislation and regulations, including that they are within certain income limits, have a right to live in the state long term, do not own a house, and so forth. The allocation of a tenancy of council property is in line with the council's allocation scheme, which is available at donegalco.ie. So my reading of that is that perhaps maybe you are mistaken. That I think I'm reading it correctly, that if this was a council house allocated by the council, the person would have to be on the list. They'd have to be within certain income limits and they'd have to have a right to live in the state long term. So I'm not sure if that applies. So hopefully that's helpful, or maybe it's made it a little bit more complicated. I don't know. Right, Councillor Michael McBride joins us now. Morning, Michael. How are you getting on?
Good morning, Greg. How are you today?
Good to chat to you. Right, you have, now you're not ringing us, or we're not ringing you, sorry, off the back of one incident or not. A number of people now at this point have spoken to you about damage to their windscreens. Where is this happening, Michael?
Well, I suppose I've brought the motion into the municipal meeting tomorrow in Letterkenny, and it relates to that section of road there from Illestrin out towards Coolboy over to the Garden of Erin Road. Just to where the Blue Banks job started there. And the surface of the road's coming loose there, Greg. I suppose it's 12 or 13 years now since that road was laid. And there's a high volume of traffic on it, and, you know, vehicles run kind of close together on it. And I was speaking to one man, he told me that he'd lost two windscreens in it, and, you know, I haven't talked to other people since. I've heard now, you know, reports about other windscreens being lost on it. But, you know, it's most more important than the windscreens. I think you need to have a good, safe surface on the road there. It's a national route, the N56, and a massive volume of traffic on it every day. And I just wanted to get to the bottom, make sure that the TIA are aware of the situation, and that you know, it will be put in a programme for resurfacing, and that's basically the reason I took the motion and there to the municipal meeting tomorrow.
So presumably then, it's not a case of sweeping the road. The road is starting to deteriorate. That's where these chips are coming from. So it's going to be an ongoing problem until such time as the pavement's redone.
That's correct, Greg. I think everybody would understand, you know, that this year, November, we had a massive amount of rain, then we had the ice in December and the snow then in January. And, you know, the roads were salted and gritted a lot. And it does definitely, eat the surface of the roads. And it damages them. But, you know, we have no alternative but to grit them. But there's no doubt about it, you know, you can see that road now if you're driving on it. I've driven it a number of times in the last week or two, and I've been looking at the surface on it, and you can see it just where it's starting to break up. I think, you know, there's a lot of wear and tear on it since it was laid, and I just think it's time now for to get out and to upgrade it, and you know, because the road on out then to Kilmacrennan and even the road up the mountain top itself, I think it's in reasonably decent condition.
Yep, and I think you mentioned it's done 12 or 13 years ago. I think the lifespan's about 8 years, isn't it, for some of these roads? And I know roads down my way that have been resurfaced two or three times since this road was laid. You'd wonder what the criteria is, how it's all planned out, wouldn't you? Like, there's some roads I've seen resurfaced, and you think, right, they must have money to burn here. Now, I realise that I'm not a roads engineer, so I just accept it, right? But, you know, as I say, I've seen roads, I could mention the roads, that have been resurfaced two or three times over the last 12 or 13 years, and yet you have this road that's seemingly falling to bits.
Aye, well, look, you know what I mean? I think it's the case here. If a stitch in time saves nine, and I just wouldn't want to see the road surface deteriorating, you know, any more than it already is.
Yeah.
And, look, sometimes you do get roads, and I'm not an engineer either, and wouldn't claim to be, but, you know, you do have roads who'll say
that. We're like two bald men arguing over a comb here, Michael. We don't. But come here. The thing about it is, too, that, you know, obviously, the obvious is that the cracked windscreen, but anyone who's had a stone or chip hit their windscreen at speed, you know, and I don't mean flying, you know, it could cause another knock-on incident as well. You know what I mean? People might react in different ways. There's damage to bodywork that's not as obvious as a chip to the windscreen. So it's and there's a lot of people using this road. So it's a significant enough old issue, Michael.
I think it is, you know. And look, the last thing you want, and I know you get an awful shock. I mean, every one of us that are driving got hit with a stone at some stage, and you get an awful fright in it, you know. And some people may be able to cope with them kind of things better than others, you know. But, you know, there's plenty of scope on the road, and look, I would just like to think that the TIA, you know, will have it on the program or get it onto a program for to resurface it and just leave it safe for the road users, because that's what it's all about. We're coming into the busy summer season, and you know, it's just something that we can't ignore.
Yeah.
We have to get on top of it, and just I think it's important that it's looked about, Greg.
Yeah, and in between you lodging this motion and it being heard, hopefully the council have got onto the TII and they'll be able to give us some indication as to if it's on the programme for works or when. So in other words, it could be one of those motions that we could get some firm information from one way or another once it's... it's not a question, but anyway, we'll find out sooner rather than later, I'd hope. Councillor Michael McBride, thank you for your time.
All right, Greg.
Take care of yourself. Bye-bye. Councillor Michael McBride, we'll give you an update. I'm sure the newsroom will, and we shall try as well to give you an update on the outcome of that motion there. A caller says, who's going to take a train north to go south? You'd be in Dublin by the time you'd be in Belfast. Any train has to go south, not north. Motorway first. Yep, see... For me personally, I just can't imagine, even if they built a train from, built a train, you know what I mean, provided a train from Letterkenny to Derry to Belfast to Dublin, I can't see me honestly getting on a train to go to Dublin, because I'd have to get to Letterkenny first, which can take some time, get on, park the car up, I don't know, doesn't seem realistic for me. But anyway, are people currently driving to Derry, parking the car, getting the train from Derry to Dublin? Have you done that? Do you do that regularly? What's it like? Is it a viable option?